Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it is 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer.
Mostly accurate.
I am Augie Carton. John Hall is clearly here because he's correcting my time.
Yeah. Wow. That's how we start these things.
Sometimes. Yeah. Sometimes.
Like
10-10
wins.
Yeah, on the twos.
Yeah.
Beers on the twos.
Speaking of the ones and twos.
The ones and twos. So on the ones and twos, we got Brian Cass of iDrinkYourBeer.com, tweaking our ass across the crossfader. Justino is here, but he's on bottle duty. And our accomplice this fine evening is Jeremy Cowan of Schmaltz.
And Schmaltz, so many other things.
So,
so many other things currently.
I've always been aware of you.
That is generous.
No, I have. Most of my geekery days happened around like the Tribeca Whole Foods beer section.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And I do.
You've always existed there.
We look forward to trying to continue that.
Right on. Keep it up. But and you're one of those, I'm just aware enough of your story to get myself in trouble by being really wrong about something I misunderstood nine years ago. So why don't you take us on your tour? On Justin's notes here, he says you started in San Francisco, which I definitely didn't know.
Right. Totally so, true. Justin killed
in
it
96,
on that one.
So that year, year 96.
Justin's doing the good so far.
We call him Christopheropedia. but anyway, so 96. 96 is one of those,
it's
right,
one.
John Hall? Give me a writer term for what kind of year it was.
It's a seminal year in beer.
Yep.
Right. So you guys, some guys in Delaware, some guys in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
96 was another one of those.
Yes.
Fuck, a lot of shit happened.
Watershed,
in 96
sea change. Yeah.
And then right before.
No, sea change is now trademarked. Don't use that.
Do you have that?
No, I was thinking of Sea Quench or whatever Dogfish's beer was.
Oh, yep. Yeah, they're Michelob Ultra with black lime, yeah.
Stop. You've got a better palate than that.
Hold on
no,
a second,
they,
people.
You've got a
they
much
are,
better palate.
They are marketing it as the exercise beer. Like, you do an Ironman, you drink a Sea Quench. They're doing the exact same marketing for it as Mick Ultra is.
For the record,
anyway,
after every Ironman I've ever done, I've had boat beer.
Yeah.
Except the New York City Marathon, where I went straight into
and
some other half tens. Other half tens. Like, I went straight to the Tiger after, and they're good. You got it. I was like, let me try that other half. Right after the marathon, do not drink. Even though you
God.
Can, I was like, the oats will be good for me.
But 96 was an interesting year because there were so many breweries that opened up that are national brands now. That you're part of an elite class, but it was also one of these fraught times because the bubble
downturn
that everybody talks about.
Yeah, that is the bursting of
the
80s bubble, right?
Right after
even 90s.
Yeah.
And
after that.
I'm lucky. I just fully claim shared spotlight with a bunch of really actually spectacular, exceptional humans who started real breweries in 1996. It wasn't really until 2003, 2004, 2005 that I was.
So you were the guy dealing pot to the AP class.
I wish it had even been that good. I was the guy driving around in my grandmother's Volvo with 100 cases of contract brewed, hand bottled, hand labeled 22-ounce bottles, and
where did you contract brew at the beginning?
At a little tiny place called Brewmakers in Cupertino, California, just south of San Francisco. It was right in between the Petco and the In-N-Out Burger.
Would I know them?
Is that town known for anything else now?
It's currently known for that.
Okay.
That's the one thing.
that's your big popularity.
Yeah, I think you're confusing that.
That
with
and black turtlenecks.
Yeah, exactly. So
if you need a black turtleneck, go to that Walmart.
Yeah.
Black mock turtlenecks. Got to be a mock. But yeah, so 96, epic. I only later, about 5 or 6 years ago, started really figuring it out. Actually, it was when I did Jubilation Bar Mitzvah when I realized, oh my God, wait, Bear Republic, Weyerbacher, Stone, Ballast Point, yeah. Coronado.
So when everybody sold for crazy. $1 billion each, you were like yo,
those are still here?
Yeah, one of my friends were like,
remember the Jewish
kids? How's that feel? So it was an epic year. It's really exciting to know that was 21st anniversary. There's a few also that are fun. Two Brothers is interesting because they celebrate both 96 and 97 every year. And then last year, Weyerbacher came out with their beer kind of early in the year, so finally legal at 21. I was like, wait, did it already happen? And I realized, no, Hanukkah's late this year, so it all worked out.
So when you started,
so though, you're counting your years on the lunar calendar.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I got you.
But I mean, you sort of jumped into this with beers that followed a certain shtick. Like, you wanted them to taste good, but you sort of zagged when everybody else zigged.
Well, that also, when I first started, it literally, I thought of it as a Jewish nonprofit. And I was right. It was not profitable for many years. So
that is an oxymoron, right?
Yeah.
That's like Italian culture or jumbo shrimp.
Yes, there we go. And then by the time the mid-2000s rolled around, the beauty of it was that I was very lucky that my little ridiculous model of a little tiny bit of beer in a lot of different places, because that's where there were just a little tiny bit of Jews. It turned out that was also where all the extreme beer people were when Beer Advocate and Rape Beer started coming up, and when Dogfish and Stone were in all these niche markets, and people like Jolly Pumpkin and the brewery were coming up. And my model worked perfectly to be able to explore those crazy beers that we were doing in the mid-2000s, barrel aging programs and
that's
unusual
so,
one-offs.
So let me ask you a question there, because everything you just said to me made sense, but I see it as kind of major metro areas.
Yeah.
Is there a secondary or tertiary city where you're like, this will be fun. Hebrew
Amazing.
Will do well in this Jewish culture of Lakewood, New Jersey? Or,
yeah.
Or are we just talking about like L.A., New York, Chicago?
No, it was,
places with a real deli in it.
It was, which is few and far between now.
Trust me. With look who you're talking to.
Our new pastrami beer, I'm like, oh my God, the number of crazy Jewish delis, iconic Jewish delis we could have done 5 years ago.
And that's your Smalch Brewing shameless plug of the day.
Thank you so much. It's at Barcade, for God's sakes.
Is it here right now?
Yeah, it's
of course.
It's always here.
Are we drinking
Custom?
It?
No, you're going to blind taste test another beer that's an important part of my lineage and heritage and my beer heritage and my knowledge. This is a really fun beer that I brought for you guys.
All right, wait, don't give anything away.
I'm going to tell you exactly what it is. Spoiler alert.
Stop. We'll get to it in a second, though. But I am curious, though, because what was the original business plan for Schmaltz?
Thank
because,
you,
like,
John.
You have such a...
That's
I mean,
the question I asked.
I know, but I'm asking it in a more direct way so
well,
that we could get an answer.
I think using the word business plan with Schmaltz Brewing and suggesting that I maybe knew what that was when I started is giving me way more credit than I
deserve. But you had an idea, though. And,
yes.
And was it just to find the Jewish areas in the country and market to them? Or
the idea was that, and I say this in sales meetings all the time, I thought it would be funny and fun to have a beer called Hebrew, and I thought it'd be cool to have a t-shirt that on the back said don't pass out, pass over.
Nice.
And that was it. Was the business model, and it actually I accomplished
to be fair,
that
Woody Allen's turned
how
that into a couple
you?
Oscars
exactly there
that,
you
so.
Go and Noah we were actually just underage in Northern California. My group of friends from high school, I have to give mad props to, we all had fake IDs in the suburbs, and the way I got my fake ID was the obvious way for any young Jewish guy in the suburbs. I got a fake baptism certificate from the Christian bookstore in Redwood City, and I went over to my friend Tom's house, and we typed it up and took it to the California DMV, and they gave us a real ID, real California ID, based on a fake baptism certificate.
There's nothing better than doing government business with stone people.
And that's exactly how we started Hebrew the Chosen Beer. And it wasn't a business model. That was much later. And then that whole concept, also I'm still learning after 21 years. I mean, the business side is always a challenge for me. The talking shit at bars, that's the easy part.
Yeah.
Or the part
I
get.
How many ingredients in a margarita?
Six.
No.
The glass, bro. The glass.
Five.
What? The love?
Five ingredients in a margarita.
You're hearkening back to the last episode.
Hearkening back
episodes.
To the last time we drank and bullshit. No, he wasn't on an episode.
No, I know.
It was Opry.
It was Opry Ski.
Oh, you know what I meant to mention?
Marathon.
You know what I meant to mention? Because somebody started Facebooking with us the other day, said that they found a triple dry hop beer and that it was the end of double dry hopping.
And you were like,
and I was like, we have a lost episode where a guy brings his own quadruple dry hop beer
QDH.
On the episode. And it was unbelievably fun and funny, and you'll never hear it because Justin hires the talent poorly.
Nice.
Oh, man. man.
Can't we have a continuously dry hopped beer?
Justin.
We have.
I wanted
that exists.
Justin but just anyway. Goes home and cries.
That's it. Just takes a beating. Anyway.
We love you,
so
Justin.
What brings us together on Steal This Beer is a candid conversation of beer and what it is, not what it was meant to be or should be or we were told it would be, but what it's actually doing and where we would drink it. So if you got this bottle in your cellar, you got some feedback on what it is and not, you know, not based on its dollars for dollars value. Jer brought it. Justino, you know what it is, yeah? Because you poured it?
I do,
it?
Yeah.
Yep. All right, so it's you and me, Hall Diddy. There's a smokiness to it, right? When I first got it, I thought, so you know how somehow smoked beers always associate with some kind of cured meat in your head? Like, we've actually had salmon on the show. Mm. We've had, you know, salami. We've had proper barbecue. We've had ash. When we first smelled this, I got that smokiness, but now it's settling into, like, a scotch barrel character, like a peat. Like a peat smoke and not a barbecue wood smoke. So that's where I'm kind of tripping up now. Is it somebody peat smoked some malt, or is it somebody used a scotch barrel to age it? What do you think, Hal Diddy?
There's a sourness to it, but not in what people think of as a sour beer.
Like a sour mash?
Yeah, there's definitely some sort of aged wood character to it that... It hasn't turned, but it is.
But there's a nice
very
sweetness
distinct.
To it, right? Like from malts. Again, I'm ending up all in Scotland here. Like I'm ending up like it's some Scotch wee heavier, maybe a peat smoked Scotch malt bill that saw some wood. And I don't think it's bourbon because I don't have a ton of vanilla, but I got a little wood character.
Yeah.
I've had
in the past, like tequila barrel type stuff where there is like
this
a little
kind of smoky then.
It's not this smoky.
It's usually a little more flinty, right?
There's
tequila
something.
Barrels? No, I think there's smoke. We have tequila barrels, and it picks up smokiness to it, like where smoky and salty overlap.
Oh, nice.
But
I always get like the smell of gunpowder and flint when I drink tequila barrels.
I had an incident with tequila in 1986, which I mentioned to you guys at the
and
the big beer.
And we quickly erased that from our brain with some big
God.
Beer.
Oh, my God.
This is a big beer, though.
There's definitely
a lot of flavors
booze
to
quality.
It. There's a lot
to
of booze,
it.
But it's not in that typical. Man, this is a really vexing one because it's got a really nice full mouthfeel to it. The carbonation is really sort of rounded. It sort of fills your
what
mouth.
What if I put it next to a good steak?
Maybe.
Just let it be
like a super
for me,
aged,
for me
like,
it's showing
as
a Scotch influence more than anything else.
Yeah. Keep smelling
right?
it.
So what if we were doing one of those? What if
like,
we were doing
like
one of those
50 day age kind of?
Yeah, like
bit
if we were doing a if we were doing a Mad Men lunch. You know what I mean? If everybody was drinking out of highball glasses, picture that lunch.
Do I get to give you guys hints or anything?
No. You got to leave us alone.
I'm not telling you what to guess, but I'm just saying there's some other elements there.
No, we got it. Hold on.
There's a fruity characteristic to it, almost like a. It's. Goddamn, it's almost like under-ripened cherries as well, like sour cherries that haven't ripened. It's there's something on the finish that I'm just gonna keep talking until I figure this out because it's actually really bothering me now. Where as soon as we find out what it is, we're gonna be like. Damn it! Yes, that's exactly what it was.
No, it's what I think you're getting. So there's a yeast character to it in there. It's like banana, like a banana candy flavor.
Like the runts.
So if this was a barrel aged quad, if this is a barrel aged quad or something, that could be the fruitiness, like Special B. But I keep ending up, like I said, it's something about the way the smokiness is represented. I keep ending up at Scotch. Like, just if you took a Scotch, like a big, crazy Scotch ale, and aged it in a Scottish barrel, I'd be like, oh, that tastes right. That's what I'm getting out of it. And like I said, as a result, I want to put it with a giant, stupid steak, some greens, and just manhandle it out of a large mug. You know what I mean? Like,
I mean, the bitterness on this.
I like it.
Yeah, but it really lingers at the end of it. Like, when you're saying greens, like, it's almost like broccoli rom bitterness.
I would contrast that, right? So for that level of bitterness, do a cream spinach with it and you're
sure.
Steak.
But I'm just.
Oh, I like it. But yeah, it's decidedly spirituous on the finish.
Yes. but very, very bitter. It's almost like herbal bitter. Like
I've said everything I need to say. Yeah. There's some apple to it, too. Some rotten red apples in there.
Yeah, we need to wrap this up, guys. Come on.
Relax, man. Wow, this is what the show's about.
We're on a deadline. I know you got to leave soon.
Justin, chill the fuck out.
All right.
I'll leave when I have to.
Jeremy,
I got,
what
I
is
got
it?
25 minutes.
All right. So
wait, he hasn't written his sentence yet.
I'm...
He'll tell you what it is. He'll be like, motherfucker.
You guys are going to keep
it's Orval.
This,
no. Yeah, no, what is
John,
it?
John, it's Orval.
I like, so the part of this where I think, if you keep smelling it, so you started with smoky, where I think that's relevant, but John picked up the fruitiness to it. That was super important, and you guys decided to kind of bail on that direction. The aromas.
Well, Augie decided to bail on that.
No, it's fine.
John's
no.
still looking for
the aroma, the tartness, and the fruit are very important to this. Although, Augie, got to hand it to you, said Belgian quad, which is definitely relevant. This beer was first given to me in 2003 when I drove across the country on my 40 Days and 40 Nights, the Wandering Hebrew Beer Tour of America.
And that's your second schmaltz, shameless promotion.
No, this is,
this is
a promotion
for... Would you build
your
entire business on Jewish puns?
This is a promotion for another friend of mine who has nothing to do with my Jewish heritage. But my beer heritage for sure is Tom Peters at Monk's Cafe in Philadelphia.
We do love him.
A little shout out for our neighbors to the south. He handed me a 750 with a... cork finish 750 in 2003 of a new beer from Omegang at the time called Three Philosophers.
Wow.
And I was extremely excited by the prospects of a blend and a big, strong, rich, yummy, complex beer. And I have continued to be excited by it.
How old is this one?
This is the new stuff.
This is brand new?
Newbie.
Wow.
New packaging, new everything.
Yeah, I haven't seen this at all.
And the gal at the Whole Foods where I bought this today in Albany. Said, I was at the brewery recently, and I love this beer. It's so delicious. And I said, well, I can't wait to prank two guys
prank
I know down.
We can't.
No, it's not a prank.
We're
it's,
happy. I can't read the small words.
Justin, tell us all about this beer.
Come on, millennial.
It's 9.7. It's a blend of Creek and...
Abbey Double.
That's what you said.
Yeah,
I know. Abbey Double.
Yep.
No, I was saying that for your benefit.
It's a blend every year that they do, and I think you know it changes a little bit, but
Leafman's Creek.
The goal is the same.
Wait, the creek is Leafman's?
Yeah,
That's a very small amount of Leafman's.
If it's the concentrate.
I'd love to know the number on that blend. Love to know the number on that blend. Anyway.
That's a cool place to visit if you ever have the chance.
Someday. Yeah. We get it. We have the honor of being invited to Belgium and New York a bunch, and we just haven't ever been able to get
Belgium
it together.
Belgium comes to Cooperstown, you mean?
Yeah, that thing.
Yeah.
2% Augie.
First weekend in
2%
August this year.
2% Leafman's? Yeah, that makes sense.
We're
that
do
jives
some shows.
For me.
We'll do some shows.
Did you hear the number, Mr. It's All Cherries? 2%.
Yeah, that's fine.
So the Leafman's was all
John
cherries.
John
picked it out. Picked it out.
As it will be.
That's
you
what
didn't
I'm known
pick
as.
It out.
I'm
you said there's some
2%.
Kind of fruit in there.
No, I
did.
I'm
sticking
I
with
cherries.
That. All that fruit character is
I said sour cherries that
I'm
were underwrite.
Anyway, let's get back to Jeremy. All right, so when last we left it, you were a wandering Jew.
Well, they'll just. I just want to point out how excited they're going to be with the rotting red apple vibe.
They know what it is. That's their house. Strain.
Exactly.
They know what it is.
That's when it really comes through on the nose.
It's if you love flavors,
flavor.
you know that the smell of Guinness is red apples on a steel knife.
Mm.
Right? Age those apples, like I'm sure this was. You're there.
No, I like this beer, and also it's been inspiration for a lot of people. I mean, I was really inspired by Firestone Walker's blending project. We were next to them at GABF, like in 2003, 2004, and they started doing their blends for the anniversary stuff. And that inspired me to do a little blend with Scotty at Captain Lawrence and Chief when he was at Ithaca. And we did a beer called Geektoberfest for New York City Beer Week one year that was a blend of three different sour beers in different barrels.
Oh,
and
nice.
That led to our new fourth plug of the day, shameless as it is, for Funky Jubilation,
it
which I brought you guys.
Oh, Funky Jubilation?
Yeah, barrel-aged sour blend of eight different beers we do. So
now
this beer was a really fun one.
But at some point you go from contract brewing at a storefront in San Francisco to brewing on the East Coast and living on the East Coast.
And, before,
and now you've got a real brewery,
yeah,
right?
No kidding.
So
yeah,
talk to us about those steps.
Well, it went from Brewmakers in Cupertino to Anderson Valley Brewing Company for 6 years up in Boonville, right as they were transitioning from the pub in Boonville to their bigger brewery down the street. Then I switched to the East Coast in 2003 to Mendocino Brewing Company's East Coast Brewery, which was always a mouthful. I'm from San Francisco, brewing in New York with a brewery owned on the San Francisco side of life by a guy who lived in India, currently on the lam So I switched out of Mendocino Brewing in Old Saratoga just in 2013. We built our own brewery. It's in Clifton Park, New York, exit 10. Love to have people come out. We always invite lots of brewers to our anniversary parties and
our
festivals.
You know, you just sent a whole bunch of Jersey people to Great Adventure.
It's awesome. And actually, we're doing a Jersey.
You literally just sent a whole bunch of people. There's literally people going, all right, I hear there's a brewery right by.
Exit 10, that's 7A is Great Adventure here in Jersey.
No.
Yeah. On the turnpike, yes.
Yeah.
Remember your childhood radio
commercials. 10 is US-1. Yeah. 10 is US-1.
We're on the way.
They're on their way to Vermont. Well, they're in Edison.
On the way to Vermont. No, you're thinking of New Jersey. I'm thinking of...
Everybody's thinking of New Jersey when you say exit, motherfucker. That's ours.
Exactly.
You guys can steal everything, but we own exit references.
Yeah, it's been quite an adventure. New brewery's going into its fifth anniversary this summer.
That's awesome.
God, and you have a distillery there, and you have a whole bunch of other beer
projects
as well.
Across the street,
right?
A distillery opened.
Now, do you still contract some of those bigger brands that are just huge, or is this new brewery capable of producing all the liquid you need?
Yeah, no. We're still a small company, man. I appreciate your enthusiasm, but we're still only at a little over 6,000 barrels.
Okay.
I started a brand called Coney Island when I was living in Brooklyn, and then sold that to Alchemy and Sciences, which is Sam Adams.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Thank you very much for our next
beer. So that's
why
you showed up in your Maybach?
Yeah, exactly.
Nice work.
Rock out with your Maybach out. It was always one of my favorite t-shirts. We make our own beer. We actually contract brew now for other people. We
Look
contract brew, in fact, almost
Full
three
circle.
Times more.
It really
life,
is.
Life is complex that way, like beer.
Are you allowed to tell us who, or do you have non-disclosures
yeah.
with everybody?
No. We make
who
beers.
We
make beers for Bronx Brewery, which are
like
they make great stuff. And Damien's a really talented brewer, very, very involved. We brew all the beers for Heartland. When he moved to do his own thing with Kelso, we took over the brewing for Heartland. We're brewing the Speakeasy stuff for East Coast, which is also fun. They're old friends of mine. I'm glad they exist again, which is great. They actually started in 97, and at my very first beer festival in San Francisco, we were standing next to each other pouring our beers. Those guys... very experienced homebrewers, ran the homebrew shop in San Francisco, like super legit street cred. And I was just like, hey, how about another punchline? You want a funny t-shirt? But so we were friends
ever
since.
I just remembered meeting you at the aquarium in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was a fun one.
And
that was CBC,
right?
Yeah, that
was we hadn't even opened.
But that was our first date. That was
Grindr.
Well,
we hadn't even opened yet.
Yeah.
But we hadn't even opened yet. I just knew who you were. I was like, nice to meet you. What are you doing out here? It was one of those fun conversations. Like, I thought you were only by us. And there you were in San Francisco.
Yeah, home sweet home. I was just there for San Francisco Beer Week and had a couple of events in my old neighborhood. So that's very cool. And now it was Saratoga Beer Week last week, and now New York City Beer Week, and we're in New Jersey. And
I've somehow dodged all of the New Jersey
beer
weeks.
I'm so proud of you.
I've really nailed it. I don't know how. I'm sure it'll bite me on the ass like at some bender Thursday night or something, but so far nobody's been like, you know you were supposed to be at
right.
20 minutes ago.
Are
yet.
You doing something at
4
Haymaker
in the morning?
Tomorrow night?
Am I?
Yeah.
It's going to be off the hook.
It's 2 days. Wednesday night, sorry.
Well, yeah, it's going to be great.
Hello, Hannah.
Sorry, kiddo.
All right, so talk about this beer. It's soapy.
Yes.
Soapy. I feel like they did everything they could to it to make it aromatically hoppy, and
it
ended up being
floral.
Soapy. But like flowered soap.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some zest in there. Somebody's fruit pith is in there.
Yeah, it's got that like...
that pithy orange
that
thing.
Sweet orange, like that... yeah, there's
yeah,
a sweetness
like when you
to
dry out and sugar and orange.
Yes.
Yes.
Welcome to Steal This Daycare.
Steal This Daycare. Our girl. So seriously, she's already done more for this episode than you did.
Oh, man. That's mean.
I poured you.
No, but there's a really nice, the bitterness from the hops on this, it lands really, really well. And it's one of those things that when you have a fresh sip, like it sort of abates that and it becomes a little bit more vibrant again, and it builds over and over again. Like that floral soapiness that you're talking about, like it builds over time and sort of comes into this really nice,
it's
I think,
oily
like,
beer, though.
Hoppy characteristic. Hold on.
It's an oily, oily beer. There's
yeah, it's definitely got a
sticking to my tongue that I would call orange zest or some kind of oil. Jeremy, it might even be hop oil, but
you've never had this beer before, right?
Never had this beer before, never seen this beer before. But
oh, you just grabbed it off the shelf?
You just grabbed it off the shelf?
At the at the Whole Foods in Albany?
Did somebody drunk pass this to you at some NYC Beer Festival last night?
Yeah.
It's going to be one of our best friends, like Joe Grimm's. You know. Here, take this.
Oh, I've heard of the brewery before. I know the brewery.
Yeah, obviously.
I just
but somebody, you didn't pay for this. Somebody handed this to you.
Right. Yeah. No. This. There's a lot of interesting reasons having nothing to do with the actual flavors of this beer that I wanted to get this so we could try it because it's an important element of what's going on in craft beer right now, and it's a relevant question for a lot of us. So,
here's the thing about it:
is it New World? Is it? I'm not getting like the mosaic thing off of it, but maybe maybe it's Citra or something like that,
it's
or like a lemon
Citra.
Drop
Citra
or some
probably.
Kind of like.
I think there's actually fruit in it. I think there's fruit in it just because of the texture on my tongue isn't hop bitterness. It's fruit pith sourness, fruit pith bitterness.
Yeah.
And there's some oiliness to it. So either it's a hop extract oil or it's a orange zest oil.
Yeah. So I'm going to say that
or
this.
Or grapefruit zest, say grapefruit pith.
Yeah. So I have like a few friends. I mean, not many, but a few who stand in line for beer.
Can I count them on two hands?
You can count them on one. ones that I trust, yeah. But I have friends who stand in line for beer and who like seeking out the new breweries and the Saturday morning releases and things like that. And my sentence would be somewhere along the lines of this would be a beer that they would bring to me to be like,
somebody,
hey, what do you think about
this? I think somebody might have waited on
this. This is like a Jason Garris.
But I also feel like this might be. Here's the thing about it, and if this ends up being somebody whose beers I love, I'm going to just tell them I think they overdid this one. Because I feel like this is somebody.
Get ready to get him on the phone, Justin.
Yeah, Justin, make sure you know who they are. I just feel like
call up right
I feel like somebody did everything you could do to this.
All of the things?
All of the things. Yeah. Like, that's what this should be called, all the things. This should be they're not lining up early enough. We want to see you on Wednesday for a Saturday release.
Okay.
Like, I'm just not sure that it's... Like, if this isn't... So, going back to the old tasting versus impression beer, if this is an impression beer, and I'm tasting this in a series of 12 beers, there's no way this one doesn't stick out as uniquely juicy, uniquely fruity, uniquely fun. It softens nicely. It goes away completely when you're done sipping it. There's no lingering bitterness from hops. There's no lingering whatever that orange thing is. And if it's all Citra, good job.
But right before, there is a bitterness to it that, or an astringency to it, I should say. It's not bitterness, it's astringency. There's definitely that comes through right before the finish. And you're right, it's not super bitter, but it is astringent.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
yeah.
In the mouth, it's got a decided bitterness, like an orange concentrate bitterness, but on the finish there's nothing lingering, right? There's not even like a Sierra Nevada Pale Ale's Cascade finish on it, you know what I mean? So it gets the fuck out of the way quickly, and like I said, it's big in the mouth when it's in the mouth and it's gone. But I think it's landing on, for me, it's landing on the citrus thing too decidedly, and it really does taste like juice.
Yeah.
And maybe they just really killed the Citra edition, and it tastes like juice. But yep. I just don't know that too many things weren't done with it.
Oh, it's
it
in
tastes
a can.
Like a lot of things. It's a can. Let's see it. Open
Tell
it.
Us what
How
it
big
is
the can,
it's
Justin?
It's from Brian Strumke.
Strum Diddy.
Uh-oh.
Stillwater. It's a soft pack volume 1.
What the hell is that?
All right. So Augie's going to call him, and we'll let you
wait,
know how
Wait, were we
that
drinking
goes.
Volume 2 the other night?
No, that was a different... That was a volume 2 of something else. That was... Yeah, different.
This is
series.
Like history of the world. There
I think
was
this beer
no
was made
one.
For Whole Foods. Is this where you bought this?
I got it at Whole Foods. So
I think it was made for Whole Foods.
All right,
you know,
Strum Diddy, back
love
off,
Brian's beers.
Back off. So do we.
Super talented.
But this one, you
cool
over-oiled
dude.
It, dude.
So double dry hopped IPA with oats and lactose, Galaxy, Simcoe, and Centennial.
Yeah.
It's a Centennial.
Centennial.
I think so.
Centennial.
So it's funny you guys said this was juicy. We've been making some of this crazy ass double dry hop, you know, bombs. And what I thought about this beer that was interesting is that it wasn't as juicy. The bitterness is there, but it's like a middle bitterness. So there can't be no bittering hops in this, but it's got to be pretty light. And then it's not all late edition hops. It's got to be stuff that's picking it up. So I didn't think it was as juicy as we just did New York City Beer Week opening night. And there are just, you know, it's rampant and really fun when it's done really well. There's these incredible juice tropical IPAs. And this one I thought was really balanced, and I'm glad to see it.
Did you happen to get any other half double citra, double, what's her current double they did down in Jay Wake?
I caught one of the other halves. I mean, he's making amazing beers and kind of setting.
It was a 6%. It was like double mosaic or something.
Hmm.
And it was, oh, man, I just kept going back to it after every 10 beers at Wakefest because it just was fun to drink. It was a refresher.
Yeah.
So you had it seven or eight times?
Yeah. I drank a lot at Wakefest.
That's what I heard.
Oh, boy, it was a record setting.
We all read about
even
it.
Even by my standards.
I love, by the way, when you go to these things that people text me like I'm your keeper somehow.
Yeah, like your boy is off the rails again.
Yeah, your man.
Everybody with me knew that was going to happen, and that's why they're there.
That's why the three of us didn't want to go and record.
I think you overoiled it, but I think what's interesting is the lactose.
Yeah.
So I think the lactose stole enough from whatever the hop aromas were to make it perceive as juice. I think there's enough lactose in there. So the joke I make about my milk stout is I didn't want it to be sweet, so I just made the most bitter malt bill I could and then added enough lactose to take the edges off it, so it's like milk in a coffee instead of sugar in a beer.
Yeah.
And I feel like this is a hop version of that. Like, go crazy with hops and then take the edges off with lactose, and you've got juice.
Well, it's more, and also depends on which juice. This is not like the mango, papaya, passion fruit.
This is straight orange.
This is straight
but
citrus, pithy. Because that has been kind of an interesting difference that we've been playing around with. And we just made our first one ever. We're not known for any of those types of beers. We just made a new kind of hazy-ish pale ale on our 518 series called Foggy Goggles, sixth shameless plug.
And, well done.
No, we're way
that's the only one that's
actually brought
to be
one.
Fair, the first couple times he busted you was for things you did 17 years ago.
Right.
That's really hard to, like,
no, I appreciate
you guys
that.
Really should get ahead of the 40-day tour.
Listen, I'm exacting and demanding.
But I do think the kind of the cool thing about all of this and the question was, this beer was on the shelf at Whole Foods. That means it was produced somewhere, shipped on a
Dorchester Brewing, actually, outside of Boston.
Dorchester.
Yeah. Dorchester,
and then it
Dorchester.
Went to a wholesaler, and then that went to a retailer, and then it finally got to me.
And
so my question about the big, new, cool Northeast IPAs is this a model that's sustainable through the three-tiered system?
What did it cost, do you know?
I think it was $15.99 for a four-pack. I broke open the four-pack.
No, thank you.
But I do think that this is clearly a model that makes sense for brew pubs, and everybody will line up, and you can buy 30, 40 cases on a weekend, and then there's a couple breweries who can do hundreds and hundreds. But the question would be, is this a model that can go to wholesalers and ship anywhere? Because I was just down in North Carolina and Florida and California, and they're like all talking about double dry hop Northeast style IPAs, except that by the time it even gets to there, it's 3 weeks old, 2 weeks old, and then the guys walk in the front door and they're looking at it like, dude, this is like 3 weeks old. I don't know if I want to buy this. So it'll be a question of whether this maintains.
To Strum Diddy's credit, I think this beer, first of all, it can't be that fresh because of the tiers you said.
There's a volume too as well, so this is the first.
What I'm saying is, I feel
beer.
Like this beer gets more interesting as it ages.
Well, and also,
and that may be what the lactose and the hop schedule does.
It's from November.
It's from November, so this
hang
on well.
Yeah, so that's
this hang on very well.
I mean, I almost picked up a little bit of like saison-ish. I know that I'm projecting from Brian's recipe, but there's a dryness. There's a middle dryness, that kind of earthy black pepper. Farmhouse dryness that I liked, that I think can be the same as some of the effects of some of that overhopping or high hopping. But the other alternative is that super juicy, you know, passion fruit, peachy stuff that I think disappears pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But this was good. I was glad to see it on the shelf this long and taste this good after this long.
Yeah, well, that's
there's hope. Nope. There's hope.
Brian will
figure kids.
It out. But I think you overoiled that one, Brian, did he? All right, so
are we doing a letter?
We do need to do a letter.
Oh, here we go, Justin.
A short letter. It's going to probably be a big answer. So.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
All right. I'll get my biggest answer ready.
Victor L. Victor Lowe.
Hey, Victor.
Oh. He's written it many times before.
Lowe.
Has he written before?
Yeah, yes. many times.
Yeah, he's like our number one.
No. You say that every time somebody says anything.
Yeah.
Just don't think I don't keep track.
I think Saison Slayer 69 is our number one.
CT McGaha.
I love that guy.
So the subject is, we're Prius drivers, we're a special breed.
We're Prius drivers, we're a special breed. Yep. John Hall, do you have that?
Yes.
Okay.
All right, so he says, Larry David is considered to be the comedian's comedian.
You can stop there.
And thanks for listening.
That's a complete fallacy.
I don't think that's true at all.
All right, fine, but continue.
No, but that's a lie. That's not true. Not a single fucking comedian thinks Larry David's their comedian.
No. You know who they think that it is? They all think it's Colin Quinn.
No.
Yeah, they all think it's Colin Quinn.
Colin Quinn? It used to be Louis C.K.
No, the to be fair, of this generation. But traditionally, the comedian's comedian is... who's the guy, Peter, what's his name, from London that used to do this shit with the little short drunk guy? Come on.
Totally.
Come on.
He is the best.
What? No, the...
I have no idea who you're talking
jump,
about.
You fuck a jump. Come on.
It's Ricky Gervais?
No, Jesus. You guys are all too young.
Richard Pryor? You're talking about Richard Pryor.
Yes, the guy from London, exactly. Richard Pryor.
Hold on.
No,
let me
stop.
Just look
all
up
right.
Jump, you fucker. You guys start talking about the fact that
Come
that...
On.
Well,
do,
you got to finish
letter.
The letter.
Come on, quick.
So, so his follow-up is, who is the brewer's brewer?
Oh.
That's the
Will
question.
Myers.
That's a good question.
Well, if your comparison is... Who do you say was the comedian's...
Larry David.
Cut out that part
of it. Well,
if
that's your answer, then everybody's the brewer's brewer. Whoever the last guy I saw on HBO is.
Let's ignore the first part of the question.
Oh, but come on, that's a terrible...
Will Myers from Cambridge Brewing, hands down.
Okay.
I mean, that's the answer
because
that I get most often.
No, because I'm going to go the other way.
Are
of
you?
Of course, as I will. I'm going to go with Vinny.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Vinny. I think Vinny keeps his head
Vinny
down.
Vinny from
makes
Russian
what
River.
He makes.
So yeah, but I think
and
Will
makes
Myers does the same
everything
thing.
Really well.
Yeah, so does Will Myers.
But Vinny has set the table in a couple styles and doesn't get credit for it. Vinny's invented styles.
He does have two things that are pretty
I just feel like
epic.
You haven't had enough stuff
he's
from
got,
Cambridge.
He's got a bottle named after him from a bottle manufacturer, which is pretty cool, the Vinny, which is a 375 Belgian bottle. And then he has the Vinny nail. Which we all do
right,
by drilling
pulling,
our barrels.
For pulling our barrels, yeah.
I was like, dude, that's actually pretty freaking sweet.
And you know what's most awesome
that's
is
awesome,
when you
well
talk to
deserved.
Him about it, he gives you the product number or whatever from the catalog it comes from. Like, he doesn't even call it what it is.
That's
like,
awesome.
Just, all you need to know is HG372 or whatever it is. You're like, what the fuck is that? They're like, it's the catalog you ordered out of. Anyway, so I would say Vinny's the brewer's brewer for me.
He was the first person that came into my head when I read this letter this afternoon. But
I like both because I have West Coast, East Coast, but your Will is really good because they have a lot of history, enormous diversity of styles. And if you think
and
about
pushing
who's
the envelope
under,
on styles too. Yeah, I mean, he does everything from Gruitts to, I mean, his Archibus, the summer barley wine that he makes every year is just outstanding. And then when you get into even just the some of the sake beers that he's done, some of the rice beers that he's done.
Peter Cook.
Okay. Thanks for jumping back in.
Was the comedian with
Peter Cook is the comedian's comedian. Okay. Every comedian will say Peter Cook.
Yeah.
Okay. Not Larry David.
Not fucking Larry David. No comedian will say Larry David.
Sorry, Victor.
I don't
your
think
first
people
part was
that
wrong
watch
and your
Seinfeld
second part
will
listening.
Say Larry David.
People who like
people that watch a Larry
like
David show
Larry David
don't think Larry David's the best comedian
even
on the Larry
on the
David
show. No.
That is the dumbest sentence I've ever
Victor
heard. But anyway,
back to us and let us know why you think Larry
But thanks
David
for being a Patreon, and we really appreciate
we love
your
you,
support.
Man. We love you, man. But come on, you got to say
Buy
truth.
A shirt.
Anyway, he brought his beers, and you should drink them since I'm running home.
Yeah, we're going to do that. But,
we got options. We got
a ferry boat.
I love that you write complex dark ale right on your beer.
This is what's very complex. It's not complicated. It's just complex.
It's a version of math. So what did you just open?
So this is our fake haze.
Oh, this is your hazy beer.
Yeah, it's hazy because we didn't filter it, a more traditional method.
So it's a Zwickle?
It's a foggy it's unfiltered
goggles.
Bale
oh,
ale.
It smells like fruit.
And it
smells, like you were the fruits you were describing
yes,
when you
fruits,
were talking about. This
the
smells
fruits
like
of our
your,
loins.
Your passion fruit, mango fruity.
That's
fruity.
That's right.
5.18%.
Yes, in honor of our fabulous area code in upstate New York, the 518, one of the very first area codes.
Did you nail that?
The area code?
No, you nailed it. 5.18 ABV.
Yeah,
it's right on the money.
Yeah, it's the Vinny nail spot. And 5.18. Those are the two nails at the moment.
Fucking talk ninja skills, man.
It's amazing.
I'm so lucky good. If I get within three.
Don't go to Texas, bro. They will
we pass
down.
All our tests. I'm
they
just
turn you down. Now this is just fun one. This was a one-off summer spring experiment, and it gave Christopher Dufresne, aka Duffy, our newly promoted head brewer, our production brewer, promoted to head brewer, and just said, go to town, do whatever you want, make fun. So we had a good time with this one. It just came out a week ago. But this is one of those questions. It's like, how long does it last?
You still have a pithiness to it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Like that, that a different pithiness, more orange than grapefruit.
Yeah, I'd get pick up a lot of lemon zest on this one.
Yeah, right on.
But there's definitely a bitterness too, and there's no bittering hops. So,
You started out Whirlpool. You didn't even do like a 10. Yeah. All right, right on.
And so it's interesting. I want to see what happens. A lot of this stuff also is interesting. Is expectation. You know, people are expecting certain breweries to make certain beer styles. And if you're not one of those breweries, we've never made that. We didn't jump on it because I knew it was going to be a hell of a lot harder for us. We didn't have a canning line until more recently. And we have cans that we like to put labels on. So the sticker can weekend has just been a different business model from us.
Yeah, but...
But it's fun. I like this
beer. So like I said, for me, it's I make those beers when I want to make them because sometimes I like to drink them. Mm-hmm. I'm lucky enough to have friends that make them every day so I can buy theirs.
Yeah.
My problem is, and you were talking about down south and they talk about New England IPAs. Down south is where I found the most egregious offense, although I have found them even in New York and New Jersey, where you feel like a guy saw an Instagram picture of a Trillium beer or a Treehouse beer and wrote a recipe that he thought would look like that picture.
Right.
And has no comprehension of the subtleties of clearing a non-flocking yeast and leaving a protein haze plus a hop haze. And he's just like, bro, look at all the woo! And, you know, and stirred Cremora into a fucking, you know, Sierra Nevada and patted himself on the back for it.
Well done. And
what?
Well done.
Well done. Huzzah! You've nailed the style.
But, you know,
but my problem is the guys that are great at it, the guys we know and love, I'd rather drink their beers than most people's beers. Sure, so it's a good style.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I think is really confusing right now is that people could have said all of the things that people have complained about Northeastern style IPAs. They could have said about Ruination when it came out or Dogfish 90 Minute when it came out. And, you know, those beers changed the entire industry. And right. I think for the better. And I'm really, you know, was inspired by those beers. So as long as I was happy to see Brian's beer hold up so well, I think some of the beers we've been making for some other folks have been holding up really well. I don't think the style's going away. And listen, if we could all actually start making some better margins off having people appreciate how expensive these beers are, I think that's a good thing. I think there's a problem with pricing in the industry, and if we can get four packs to go up to $15-$16 at a grocery store, that should have happened 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that's a good thing.
You've led me into the perfect point for us to exit because I'm late for a boat.
Right.
You're talking to the right people. Thieves aren't cheap because they Patreon us and they give us money. So
and we appreciate
they're definitely
that.
Buying $15 to $24 four packs. So.
That's great.
Y'all heard them. Send us to Florida.
Keep supporting
for,
good art.
Hunapu Day.
Well, we'll tell them that from Hunapu if we all
this
make
will be
it.
Aired at way
to
after
be,
that.
To be fair, had you said that about Colorado, they'd still be waiting for the best episodes we ever recorded.
Oh,
thanks, Justin.
I'm never hiring anyone else. I'm going to fly out myself.
Right. Very good. So, Patreons, thank you for supporting us. If you want to support us, go to our Patreon, Steal This Beer page. If you want to write us a letter like whoever made the comedian's mistake,
our
Victor
good
Lowe.
Friend Victor Lowe.
All right, Victor, I'll forgive you for the comedian's mistake since Sean said you're our number one fan.
You can do this at Steal This Beer Podcast.
Steal This Beer Podcast at gmail.com or write it on our site.
Yeah.
Do Patreon us. Thank you, Patreons. You're keeping us alive.
Enjoy the conversations. We have some
Hannah,
fun stuff
thank you for joining
online.
Us. Jeremy Cowan, thanks for coming out. We've gotten up to about a year ago. So next time you come, we can start at 2017 and catch up.
It's a totally different story.
And we can drink these beers.
Perfect.
Which were fun. John Hall, thanks for making it. We missed you last time.
So sorry.
And y'all get at us. Let us know what you think.
Cheers, guys.